Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8FSO, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm all right. Making my way to work. Roads are kind of crappy. We got about 3-4 inches of snow over here yesterday. And it's about 18 degrees. Far cry from Sunday. It was 65. Come on.
Yep. We don't really have any snow on the ground here. Well, flurries last night, is just a little bit in the grass, but it's 19 degrees here, and yesterday morning it was 60 degrees. So, yeah, it's quite the difference.
Boy, them people up north got hit. Muskegon, Ludington, Gaither got 19 inches. Was it Sunday night? I think it was. Boy, they got dumped on up north.
Yep, I was up there in Petoskey Saturday and made the good decision to come home because I didn't want to deal with it. Drove home on dry roads, and if I would have come home Sunday, it would have been significantly different.
The first Thanksgiving, I lived in Gaylord, which is about 2013. We got almost 3 feet overnight. Boy, that was something. If you've never experienced that level of snowfall, that is something else.
Well, I can say, fortunately and unfortunately, I have not. I would imagine everything just absolutely grinds to a halt for several days.
Well, you're semi-right. Fortunately, they're used to dealing with that. So usually within about 8 or 10 hours, most people got the main roads cleared out, and, you know, people got big snow blowers and stuff for their drive. But the recovery didn't take as long as I thought. I was with you. I thought it'd take a few days. But everything was pretty much normal by Thursday night there, you know, just the holidays, what kind of slowed everybody down that day. It's probably a blessing for my first experience, because the holiday allowed them to get it cleaned up a little bit without traffic.
Yeah, I would imagine that helped. Yeah, that's a lot of snow. That's a lot to move. And I know south of Gaylord, Houghton Lake area got hammered with ice. You know, and that's terrible. I've seen a ton of downed trees, and I think Roscommon County, last I saw, had like 82% of the people that have power were without power. So hopefully they can get it back up and running. I know they got hit hard last year, too, with that ice storm. So who knows? That's not good, that's for sure.
Well, it sure has been crazy over here. You know, we had that tornado run through two Fridays ago. And then the storms that came behind it. Then it was warm, and then it was cold. Now it's snowed, and the wind has just been terrible. A couple of days ago, we had 60-mile-an-hour winds again, sustained quite most of the day. It's pretty nuts, the weather this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. We had really high winds, Friday, and then again Sunday afternoon and all day yesterday, and looking at a flag right now, and it's pretty straight, so pretty windy again today, so I don't know when it's supposed to let up. It's no fun, though.
Seems like Mother Nature is just mad at us, maybe.
Yep, it has been something else. It's been, we had a real winter here in Metro Detroit. You were here for most of it, so it's been years since we've had a winter like this.
Yeah, that's what I told my girlfriend for years. I said, you know, it doesn't snow in the city. You don't have winters. Then got over here, and she realized that I was right. I mean, don't get me wrong. You get it over there, but winter is winter over here with, you know, around the bottom of the lake, and it really gets messy sometimes. And, yeah, that tornado missed our house by about 2 miles. It went about 2 miles south of us. I'm thankful for that, but I certainly wasn't expecting a tornado in March.
No, and man, that's scary to have that close. There's not tornadoes that often in Michigan, so you'd like to think they stay far from your house.
Yeah, I was at work in Kalamazoo. And then my buddy over there, Matt, ACAC, he's kind of a weather nut. He sent me a thing. He said there's tornadoes on the ground. And of course, I looked at the path, and it was, at the time, it was headed literally directly towards the house. So about 4 o'clock, I told the boss, and I hated to go because I'm, you know, brand new guy. But I'm like, look, I'm going home. There's tornadoes on the ground. And so I raced home, and by the time I got there, of course, it had moved and gone in through town, but I only missed it by about 15 minutes as far as seeing it. It was over in Union City there when I finally saw it, or finally got home. But yeah, it's crazy, the damage. If you've never firsthand seen the damage from a tornado of any level, it's, I'll tell you what, pictures don't do it justice.
Yeah, I can imagine it's rather alarming.
I took my, I loaded up the chainsaw and went to town Saturday morning, and I found my cousin has a, you know, an excavating company, and, was going to do a community meetup and do some cleanup, and then the cops come and shut us down. So I went into town looking around just to see if there was anything I could do. And I ran into them, and they were asked by the city to clear some streets. So I went through lemon trees off through the city streets there, and they come along with the bobcat and the loaders and trucks, and was hauling everything away. So at least I got to help out. I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they needed it. That's like an all hands on deck scenario, I would imagine.
Well, you know, there was, I don't know, probably 35 or 40 of us with trucks and chainsaws that were going to do the community help, and you know, the officer said, you know, we got to get the situation under control so nobody gets electrocuted or hurt, you know, like that. He says, we got to make access for everything first. So that really kind of made sense. And I'm glad that they were polite about it. He was firm about it, but he was polite about it, you know. And a lot of community stuff coming together. United Way showed up, Samaritan's Purse, and there was quite a bit of community togetherness.
That's good. That's what you need when events like that happen. But hey, I'm pulling up at the office here. I will catch up with you soon, hopefully. This is KE8RUH, and I'll be clear on your final.
Yeah, it's good talking to you this morning. I I'm actually at the drive-thru myself, and my window's closed shut, so I got to get out and break my window loose. So, you have a great day. It's good talking to you. KF8FSO73.
W8FU. Good morning. Good morning. Where are you? I'm just leaving. I just made it to town, so about 30 minutes ago. All right. Well, I would prefer to meet you along 53 somewhere. So, because I have to head straight north up to at least 32. So I will let you know as I hit Hall and get on the expressway so we can figure out where the handoff will be. Okay, sounds good. I'll be on it for the next 21 miles. All righty. I also have a whole repeater here that I was going to give you, and you could all it needs is a rim light and a pie, but it's all ready to go. It's got the DB9 connector dangling off of it, ready to go. It's on the 125 pair. Anyhow, I might give you that, and then that way I can, just take my time with the other. Whatever you would like to do, I only brought the receive and duplex radio. I did not bring the transmit radio, but I do have those with me, and then, yeah, at least we can test the frequency and run with it for a bit. Yep, the only thing I haven't done on this one here is I haven't looked at its power output and how it's going to handle, the duty cycle. So that's the only caveat. So you'll be testing it for me. We will find out. Going to be out in the field all day today. Going to be a cold one. Although it's weird because I don't feel as cold today as I did yesterday. I think it's, there's wind. Look at the flags. They're all straight out to the east. So there's a pretty good breeze out of the west, but it doesn't feel like it. I was going to say, you picked a good day to go hang out outside. My watch says we got an 18-mile-an-hour wind out of the northwest, and I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm between a bunch of trees on the highway, but I don't really see it. The snow's kind of just coming due south. Well, I guess it is out of the north. It doesn't seem like it's blowing that hard, though. Compared to the last couple days, the freaking tornadoes. Yeah, the only way I can tell there's a wind is the flags. You see them shooting straight out. So the flags are all flying. But the trees don't look to be moving. And you got snow up there? Is it snowing? Oh, yeah. My yard had a little dusting of white on it, and it's still coming down up here. The dinguses in front of me are doing 10 under because of it. Well, we look like we had a dusting. I know it snowed last night when I was looking out on the cameras. I saw quite a little flurry about 8, 9 o'clock. I forget when it was. It was later in the evening, but then it stopped. And this morning it looks like maybe there was a little dusting overnight, but really no sign of snowing. Nothing right now. Right now it's pretty clean. The further south I get, there's like, I can't even tell if it's snowing anymore. So just, where was I? Like, Kidder? I don't know how far north you're going. I don't think you're going that far, but it is done snowing now. It's just a little wet, so that'll be fun because it's 19 degrees.
I gotta go to the fire station just by your old house.
Oh, okay. I used to fly my drones over there all the time. Yep. Just a little bit north of where the tornado ripped through. But, yeah, we're doing some electrical work out there. The last of my old sites, so I'm going to feel pretty good about getting these done. And, so it's going to be a cold day to be working outside, but I called the guy last night, and I said, we still on for tomorrow? He said, yep, and I said, all right, see you there. Good deal. I like reliable contractors. They're hard to find nowadays. Yeah, it's my first experience with these guys. They've been pretty good. The crews they set out have been on the ball, and the you know, they're punctual and fast. They got the first one knocked out in one day. The second one they had to come back, but there was a snag. They couldn't mount the box where I wanted it because of there wasn't enough egress to open the door and whatnot. So they had to change that, which required them sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting for supplies. And so that one extended over to the next day. And then last week, I think Thursday would have been the next one, but it was supposed to be really bad on that day. So they said, yeah, they said, we'll pick it up. And here they are Tuesday the next week, going to finish up. So they're really good about that. Place called Electrix, R-E-X, Electrix. And they're in the county. Big Harrison Township, so nice place. What are they changing? Are you changing the power supplies or just kind of cleaning things up or what? So all of my sites have a big, like, 50 to 70K generator, on site, automated, all that stuff. Automatic transfer switch, so. But, you know, the sites are getting older. They're getting up there. They've all been, you know, cooking for 20 years, and recently they told us one of our generators couldn't be fixed. We had to replace it, and it took, the lead time on getting a new one was extremely long. But, of course, this was back a couple of years ago when everything was just crazy lead times. And so we decided at that point that we have to, you know, we're going to have to replace them. But, you know, think about a, you know, $50,000-$60,000 generator job is that you really don't want to do it if you don't have to. I mean, I guess preventive maintenance is great, but what we did is we got a portable. We got a 50K portable, and because there's so many other reasons we need that, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to install these manual transfer switches, and then I can run these generators until they become troublesome, and if I get another decade out of them, you know, we win by leaps and bounds. But basically, the idea is, hold on, I got traffic situation here. Come on, okay, thank you. Guy's going out of his way to make my life miserable here. Anyhow, hold on a sec. Anyhow, so we got this portable 50K, and now I'm putting in manual transfer switches so that, you know, when we used to roll up, we would have to snake the cables inside. We'd have to go to the automatic transfer switch and drop the cables coming from the generator and put ours in and torque them down and all that. It was kind of like, you know, safe, you know, electric, because you were working on the cold side of a automatic transfer switch. But still, you know, it was not optimum. So now I'm putting in actual manual transfer switches so we can roll up, jack in, throw the switch, and run on the backup generator if we have to.
You're connected to CMN Network.
So I'm assuming this portable jetty is on a trailer, or it's one of those that are built into a trailer axle of some sort, and you kind of just store it somewhere and then move it as needed, or is it living at the site where that generator failed? No, right now we keep it in the garage area where I'm at, and we'll need it. But it's a it is a trailer. You know, it's a generator that's been made into a, you know, a trailer. It's got a full axle, you know, a suspension and all that stuff. And we can pull it with, we have a We have a, what's the big four? Explorer? No. Expedition. We have an Expedition and then a big, like 350 Chevy van or something, whatever it is. E30. I can't remember how they label their stuff, but it's their, one of their biggest vans. And that one, they both have like a 6,000 plus pound towing capacity, so they can pull the thing. So I got two vehicles that can pull it.
I was just talking to my father-in-law this Sunday about portable generators versus, you know, permanent installed whole house, whole site, you know, Jennies. And, in your case, obviously it makes sense to have, how many sites you have, you need an automatic one. And maybe not necessarily this site if you're able to get by with that, or someone's there that you can just back the trailer in and fire it up. But we were talking about whole houses for, like, residential environments, and it's just, like, it is such a tough justification to spend that kind of money for a generator that you use once or twice a year.
I'll tell you my position on it. I know a lot of people that have whole house generators, and they are always having trouble with them, always. They don't start when they want them to. They're having issues. They got to replace them, you know, and stuff like that. It's just always having problems. I decided a long time ago, I don't want that aggravation. I don't want to be linked to one. Now, I do make sure I get tri-fuel on all of mine. The last one I had, I converted to natural, but it could do both. It could do gas or natural gas. And the new one I bought is tri-fuel, so it'll do natural, propane, or gas. I haven't ran a drop of dyno in that thing since I got it. You know, and it runs off natural gas. And if I have to take it into the field, I'll grab a propane pig and I'll run it that way. I just want that clean and keep the gas out of the gum and that whole thing up like they do. But the thing about a portable, sure, I got to go plug it in and turn on the gas supply and then start it. And then I go downstairs and I throw a manual transfer switch. So there's a little process. It doesn't happen automatically. But the beautiful thing is that it's reliable as hell. If for any reason it goes out, I can run right down to the hardware store and have another one in an hour. You know, in fact, I got a spare. I got my old one, so even have a spare. You know, you can't do that with a whole house. And I can use it anywhere else I need to use it. I can take it someplace and use it to run a portable welder or something like that.
And don't forget there's annual maintenance on these whole house generators, too. I mean, the convenience is there, no doubt. Like, my neighbor's a 75-year-old widow. She's got one. That's, like, my indicator that, oh, crap, we're out of power. Better roll out the Jenny and plug it in. But that's, like, a very, you know, that use case, I would want my grandma to have one. You know what I mean? Like, hands off, it just turns on and works. I'm a 32-year-old large man. I'm more than capable of wheeling a generator 10 feet, pole starting a thing and plugging it in. But yeah, like you said, you know, you're really in it for not much. I think I'm $1,300 into my entire setup. That's the generator, the power cord, the back seat, the breaker, the whole nine, maybe even less, including the cover. And it's just been flawless. I run rec fuel in it, so it starts the second pole every single time. I've got 50 hours on it so far to actually do for an oil change, but that's kind of my preference. And like you said, it's more versatile. You can take it with you, like if my parents need it. Whatever. But I agree. I think I need to, my gas line, my gas feed is right there. And I should probably figure out someone to come tap that and convert mine to a natural gas feed. But it's pretty maxed out in my house. On Sunday we were, no, Saturday. Saturday it was like we didn't lose power. I mean, the furnace was on, the kids were watching TV, Starlink was running, I was messing around on my computer, I was playing radio. I think the only thing we didn't do was do laundry, but my wife was still cooking food. Like, we were using the air fryer. I think if I switch that over to natural gas, it's going to struggle, because there were times where I heard the well pump turn on or the sump pump discharge, and the generator was not happy. And I don't know if you've ever had to tune yours. I'm going to break. I don't know if you've ever had to tune yours, but there's a throttle control screw that changes the RPM of the motor, which changes the charging hertz. So the first time we used it legitimately, it was charging at like 64 hertz, and all my UPSs and backup batteries were dying, and I was like, what the hell? And then I finally realized I needed to tune it. So I noticed now when the when it surges and starts to bog, it'll actually, obviously the RPM changes, and you got to mess with that too. But all right, rant over. Jesus, NADF.
Okay, I'm on the freeway, just coming up on 59, so let's start thinking about where the handoff might happen. Well, let me not talk too long here.
I am passing 26 Mile Road right now.
23, maybe?
That's kind of what I was thinking. You've got to go east, so you're going to take 53 still. Get off 23, and I'll meet you at Walmart, and then I can just keep headed east on 23 over to Plank.
That'll work. I think there's a Starbucks right there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is. Yeah, I think that'll work good, because then we don't really have to go out of our way to do anything. You can hop right back on the highway, and I can just keep heading east towards the office.
I think I have a little bit more flexible schedule than you. Do we want to do it on the south side of the street so you don't have to battle with turning in and turning out?
That's completely up to you. I think there's a light there at the Walmart, so it's not a huge ordeal. Worst case scenario, I'd hop back on 53, but I really don't know what's on the south side over there. I think it's a bunch of businesses, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know either. What's exactly there? I was figuring through it. You know, first one there, just pick something on the right, pull in, just past my exit, because my exit's going to be east of you. So pick something just east of where I get off and pull in, and then it'll be very easy for you to get out. You don't need to stop anywhere on the north side of the street. Yeah, just turn into the first place you see, you know, past the northbound exit, and And if I'm there first, I'll call it out. So whoever gets there first, just call out the place on the right, and that way you can turn right in, turn right out, get on your way.
All right, I'm jumping off on 23 right now. Past the Jeep, that plate is MI5.
All right, I can see the exit, but I don't know how far I am, maybe a half mile. Got all the signs telling me what's on this exit. Oh, look, Starbucks, White Castle, Tim Hortons. Yay!
I am at the exit, waiting at the light, so I should be there in probably 2 minutes.
All right, I'm getting off. Like I said, I'll find the first convenient thing on the right. Call it out. Now I'm stuck at the light.
I fortunately made it through the first one, so let's see if I make it through the second one, and then I'll let you know.
That's you just pulling up to the light right now?
Yes, sir, I see ya. I'll follow you. I don't think we could have timed that any better.
I think you might have said exactly what I said. I said, how's that for timing?
That is exactly what I said. Even better timing, I was able to hit every light and jump back on the highway.
I was ordering my coffee.
Man, too bad you don't head north more often. That was a nice little pit stop.
Yeah, I'm several miles north of about 59 is about, you know, because then I can just drop down on Elizabeth. But yeah, I don't have much need to get up here in the morning. But that was easy peasy.
Well, you got my wheels turning now.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
You know me, I like everything simple and contained.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's, you know, I hope it's a set and forget kind of an affair, because, you know, if I install it at that location, you know, I can't be babysitting it. It's got to be one of the things that just gets locked in a closet and, you know, hopefully see in a decade. We will find out. But, man, I didn't know they were that small. I was thinking these things were like cabinets. Well, they can be. You know, you got to remember that if, you know, look at that thing. It's basically two mobiles in a box. So it's basically a glorified version of what you built. So, you know, it's you know, of course they take into account heat sinking and power supply and fans and all that stuff. They take all that into account. And, you know, and they do it for you. But it's in the, at the end of the day, it's literally the same thing you already got. Yeah, I mean, when we open it up, that's exactly what it is. Just, you know, someone else spent a lot of money on R&D to make it work super good. Yeah, Motorola sells several. There's some Kenwoods that are pretty cool. In fact, we should talk to Phil. Phil might even have a Kenwood available. That one there would be, hold on, I got to pay for my coffee. All right, got my pistachio latte. They're pretty good. They're not real sweet, but they're a little, they're special. Oh, anyhow, got, it's St. Patrick's Day. So, oh, what the hell did I do here? Son of a, god darn it. I took one outlet too soon. Now I gotta wander back into the Walmart's parking lot here to get out.
Well, at least you didn't get back on the southbound highway. Give me one second, I got a call coming in. I didn't give you up.
Playing with your toys.
Repeaters, man. Dakota's putting up a repeater to cover the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, I was surprised when I was digging into my 4550. Like the mobiles inside the 8400 are basically the 4550, just with some extra connectors on them.
Yep, just about every manufacturer sells a repeater that's a couple of mobiles in a box. And even, you know, even the big repeaters often are mobile, but, you know, like, for instance, one of the most popular repeaters for years, the Beast from Motorola was a Micor repeater. And the Micor was a mobile, but what they did was they designed a whole other chassis, and all the circuit boards from the Micor were plugged into the chassis, this rack mount chassis. Then of course, you know, they just used the exciter power and they ran an outboard PA, or a different PA, because that's really the only thing that really is going to make the difference between a mobile, you know, and a legitimate PA is the, you know, how hardy is the power supply, how duty cycle capable is it, and then perhaps the filtering, you know, in the receiver, because it's going to go in a higher output price. But two mobiles in a box is, every manufacturer makes their two mobiles in a box repeater.
Yeah, the important thing is getting the tall tree and being able to take an innie and put it in an outie.
KCAKJL. Good morning, Kubat. How are you? How are you going? We've got Dakota's on a phone call. Lance and I are just out here stirring up the electron. Welcome.
Oh, I just got on the road and I'm heading to Grand Rapids.
Hey, we're going to get a Memphis repeater next.
We got one at Richmond. Don't keep one at Memphis.
Oh, Richmond does just fine. on a good day, I can get up to Imlay City on the Richmond repeater.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Which one are you on, Lance?
Can you hit up in your living room when you're on the road on an HD?
Which one are you on, Lance?
I'm on Flint currently.
Hey, well, I just switched over to Richmond because I'm up here. Kind of, Warren was getting a little pickety, and I don't know. I guess I could switch to Romeo. How am I doing in Richmond, Tom?
A little bit of popcorn, but audible. I can understand you.
Yeah, you're definitely hitting the run of the rope at Warren, but I don't know if Romeo originally better, but yeah, definitely a little bit of popcorn.
Well, I just switched to Romeo. Considering where I'm at, I should be booming in the Romeo, but it's popcorny. Never been impressed with the Romeo site. I don't know what it is.
Sound better now, a little less popcorn, a little bit of crackle, but you're booming in there.
Yeah, you sound much better on Romeo. You would have to transmit on the Romeo and listen on the Richmond.
Speaking of two mobiles in a box, Richmond's running an XPR, 8400. It's really weird, too. It's been doing this ever since day one. You know, when it's got some sort of a little, like, rumble, you know, that happens. It's like something, it's like a DPL or something that just kind of goes, you know, like a little grumble. And does that every so often. I never quite put my finger on what that was. Never really intended on running a XPR there this long. I was going to get that switched over to a Quantar, but the unimpressive footprint has caused me to have reservations on that. I really should check the antenna there, see if there's something going on, but it should work better.
Maybe it's still in.
You said that was Romeo or Richmond?
I think he's in the hole. Oh, he should be. Not where he's at.
Oh, no, my mind was wandering. I'm coming up on 32 in Van Dyke, so I could, I think I'm actually seeing the tower right now, yeah. Yep, because it's got a red strobe on it. Yeah, I can see the tower from where I'm at.
Hey, what's odd with the Romeo Tower is when I'm at Rochester at 32, it's kind of flaky, but Richmond seems much better.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It really should work better. So I really should, I got to get up there and sweep the cable and the antenna, see what the hell is going on there. And, you know, then I got a Quantar to put in there. I've got the power's really down on that thing because it's an XPR 8400. You know, I got the power throttled way back. I think it's under 20 watts. And, you know, if I put a Quantar in there, that would help to transmit out significantly. But I don't know about talking. I'm not real sure how talking is on it. But there's a whole area there between the rivers, you know, the Clinton and where it dips down and that Rochester area and stuff like that. I'd like to cover better, but I had better hopes for that site. Ah, well. I've got some other ones in mind, but all of them just take a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, no, Romeo was kind of a disappointment when put a real ham antenna on and it didn't get worse. I know you've been struggling with that one.
Yeah, we went from a 460 Superstation Master, probably a probably 10, 12 dB antenna to a DB402, I think, 4-bay. So we lost, you know, quite a bit of gain. But we got an antenna that had a good match. You know, the other one did not. So, but what was getting to that antenna up there was radiating pretty well, I guess. So I don't know. One of these days, we'll have to see about getting that changed out. Should have put up a DB420. Probably would have made all the difference.
Hey, at least it works. You know, I mean, it covers a decent area, you know, when you're right within its zone. You know, but like I said, it's a project for another day.
Hey, Bela. Yeah, maybe I'll just sweep it and see what's going on. Maybe I'll find, if we didn't the flint, we had a bad polyphaser.
Oh, I can't. If I go north on Romeo Plank, can I hit Armada Ridge? Or do I got to, I think I got to keep going on 32 here past Romeo Plank to hit Armada Ridge. I can't recall.
Yes. Okay, Romeo Plank to the flashing red light, and that is Armada Ridge.
Hey, you're in the neck of the woods that never got you.
I'm past it now, so I guess I'm heading in north.
Hey, you're in the neck of the woods that never really got to.
Oh, I forgot what I was saying. I had another radio chirping.
I thought. I just kept going on 32 and Armada Ridge popped up, so. Yeah. See, I thought I was wrong. So, I was wrong.
Well, that's
you
odd.
You thought you were wrong, because that made you right.
You're on 32 east on North Avenue. You keep going east, you'll drive right into Romeo. I mean, into Richmond. Armada Ridge is Ridge Road where, Tim lives. But if you hit North Avenue and take North Avenue north, you'll get right into downtown Armada from 32.
Yeah, I'm east of Romeo Plank, and I'm at the very beginning of Armada Ridge. It starts just east of Romeo Plank at Wolcott. Wolcott and Armada Ridge are one and the same. Until you get just a little north of 32, and then you run Armada Ridge all the way in Armada. But I'm on Armada Ridge now, which is where I wanted to be.
All right, that's my mistake, KJO. Armada Ridge is Wolcott, and Armada Center that Blake's is on. All right, I think corrected on that one. Yes, Wolcott rolls right into 32 Armada Ridge. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Lance. Go ahead. KQDGO.
You want to go to the mill over there, the Wolcott Mill?
Yeah, I may get by there at some point. I'm building a new station right there, and I got to look in on it, see how things are coming along. Got a lot of work to do. But today I'm going to be up north of there in Armada. Got work, electrical work getting done at a location up there. And the person can't be left at the site without a babysitter with proper credentials. So I either waste a technician, and I'm short technicians because they're all busy on jobs. So I either pull one from the skeleton crew at the shop to babysit, or I go up there, set up my computer, and do my work from the site and do the babysitting. So it's a lot more sense for me to come up here and babysit so I can keep a body that can actually do work at the shop.
Make sure you don't miss snack time and map time. Those are the most important times.
Yeah, did you bring your lunch?
It really is kind of a babysit job. I mean, I don't got to watch. I don't even, it's not even. I don't have to watch these guys at all. But it's just that the doors, if they need access inside the shelter, they have to have, you know, CJIS, you know, a clearance. And, you know, and of course, getting that is like pulling teeth to ask to God, you know, all the different levels they need for access. And so you just, as infrequently as we need to do this, we just got to go babysit. That's all you can do.
All right, guys, I might be ending the end of my rope, but I got to see where my coworker's at. It'd be somewhere behind me. So I will chat with you all later. KJL.
73 to Tom.
Yep, 73 Tom. Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, the whole team, make sure that everybody's happy.
NAPDF.
There he is.
Just wanted to jump back in and clear, say thanks. Anthony called me, so I wanted to see what he needed.
Did you get on his list for a repeater?
Oh, yeah, I brought that up, but I said keep your eyes peeled. I'm going to need another one of those. Am I coming in okay, by the way?
Sounds okay to me.
All right, good to know. I'm sitting at my desk on an HT, but I'm going to clear out of here. I just wanted to jump back in and say thanks, and I'll catch you guys later.
All right, catch you later. W8FU. Lance?
Hey, Bateman. Had a blizzard the next day you get here, man. Just got dark and just some white stuff flying all over.
The Tiger's Den Cafe. Still rocking, so I know where I can go get a cappuccino.
So you already got your coffee for the morning.
I did, but there will be a time when I won't have that coffee no more.
Yeah, that's when I switch to water.
I only drink coffee until I run out, and then I just go get another one.
Are you looking to go straight on me into the vein?
Then I go get another one.
You like to doing a straight IV into the vein?
I was inquiring about that, see if I could get a shunt put in, like an automatic tap. And then I had this brilliant idea. I thought, I am genius. I go, what the hell is that? Is that new? Got a little power transformer here. I don't remember seeing that. Anyhow, bottom line is, I've had a genius idea when I was vaping, because they have nicotine in them, and I thought if you could make one of these and have nicotine and caffeine, holy cow.
Well, the genius would be all hopped up on vape.
Yep, crazy stuff. All right, I'm here. I got to go unlock things, get inside, bump the temperature up in the shelter a couple of degrees. I don't know if I'm going to, it's cold out, I don't know if I'm going to play around in the car. It says it's 18. Good grief. But I'll make this my last. W8FU.
Yeah, I think I'm in no man's land anyway. 73KB1.
KB1.
Yeah, name is Jerry. How you doing? How's it going, Jerry? This is Tom. Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Just going through Dearborn. I got a dentist appointment here this morning. Where are you at?
Wilder Road on 69 westbound.
Okay, over to east side. Yeah, I'm just headed down Michigan Avenue here.
Connected to CMN Network.
Okay, say where you're at again.
I'm on Michigan Avenue here in Dearborn.
Ah, okay, you must be coming in through the Central Michigan Detroit receiver then.
Yeah, the LCS, yeah.
You on mobile or are you on an HT?
Yeah, I'm on a mobile. Yeah, I got the Yaesu FCM 100.
Is that a 2 meter 440 or is that strictly a UHF?
Yeah, it's a 2 meter 440, yeah. I think I'm getting an amp for it. DXL's a dual band amp, 80 watts.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I'm on a Yaesu FTM 310 DR ASP, 2 meter 440 in YSF.
This one will do digital. The amp won't, but I just thought it would be better on the finals. Certainly the finals go out on these.
Oh, the 100 does piston fusion also? Huh. I got the 310. You know, I got a pretty good deal on it, so I'm not complaining.
The only thing that kind of disappoints me about the later models is that they did away with the speed. The 100 had the miles per hour on it.
All right, I missed part of that. It has the what on it? I'm sorry.
The 100, FTM, it does the miles per hour.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Oh, I'm here, 7-3, and nice to make your acquaintance, KC8, they said.
All right, 7-3, enjoy your day, KC8, KJL. Are you working from home, Lance, or are you off today?
Me either, I'm headed to the office.
I'm headed to Grand Rapids, you know. See how the day is going to go from there. I only got one run, see how long that's going to take, and then see what else they're going to throw in our way.
Yeah, it's hopefully not going up north. Sounds like a real mess up there. So how's the split machine work to the east and west now?
Not too bad, I'm on it now.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you climb up there and do something with it, I take it?
Yeah, it went from a few milliwatts to 100 watts on that, so.
Oh, didn't realize that the power was down on it. Oh, she sounds good.
Well, I guess it was a lower wattage for Peter to begin with, and then when the polyphaser went bad, it took it out for the rest of the way, so. They swapped it out for a Quantar and fixed the P-line.
Gotcha. All right, I think I'm not sure if you're almost at work or not. I'm getting in some, nice little blizzard here. All right, I'll talk with you soon. KTO.
Yeah, I had a little swell at about exit 98, but yeah, I'm just exiting now, so. 573.
Mobile. You're connected to CMN Network.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Anybody around?
KFA FGS, standing by.
Okay, just got my node fired up here. Working kind of remotely today. Seems like it's working. I appreciate it.
Yeah, roger that. What's your call?
My call is W8FU, Whiskey 8 Fox United. Name is Sean.
Hey, roger that, Whiskey 8 Fox Uniform. Yeah, yeah, we heard you out there yesterday. I forget what frequency. I was programming some radios and was monitoring. Again, this is David over at KF8FTS.
Sorry, David. Very good. Yeah, well, you're sounding good. I'm in a very noisy environment. I'm at one of my tower sites up in the north end, and I'm going to be stuck here all day, so I figured I'd fire up my little all-star node and put my radio on the frequency and get to work. So, and I hear a lot of banging outside my shelter here, so I got to go find out what that's all about. Here, I got some electrical work being done at one of my sites. We'll be back. We'll talk again when I've got a little bit more time, maybe even a little bit later when after we get everything cooking here. KFAFGS, I think you said. But I only got to remember one, and that is W8FU, after yours.
Roger that. Okay. Have a good day, stay safe, and we will catch you another time. KF8FTS, finding good signal, and we're out.
I often wonder who's going to get FNG in the call sign lottery. Oh, well, we're still, I guess, a few off from that, aren't we? Yeah, I think we're. I think that's still yet to come. All right, later, W8FU. Out here.
Do some of us work for a living?
Some of us don't.
Hey man, I'm out at one of my tower sites watching manual transfer switch get installed, smelling PVC primer.
Look at you go. I'm sitting here writing up a report. Then I got two or three other tests I want to do. Then I need to shower, get dressed, and head to Lapeer, and then Davis for today. So, to prepare for my big loop trip tomorrow, Battle Creek, Hastings, Greenville, and Fair Plains. Don, isn't today like your day off?
No rest for the unemployed. No, I head into the office to meet with a client and possible appointments later today. We'll see.
It was declined earlier, so we're trying to negotiate with the property owner to get an appointment. But that's that. But it's just cold out here. A manual transfer switch in a tower. Wouldn't you think that that would need to be something that you would have an automatic transfer switch? Huh?
Give me a minute. They're running a hammer drill here. I cannot hear a damn thing, but I got to take a break and get out of here while this is going. It's driving me up the wall. I'll be on back. I'll be on my mobile in the car in a second. I'll be in a few.
Oh, manual labor. He can't be around it, Don.
Why break out in a sweat watching other people work? I get it.
I'll jump in and answer the question. What's the question? Well, what happens when the automatic transfer switch goes down in the generator? Would you then want a manual switch to bypass the automatic switch?
Well, yeah, I guess I suppose so. Being naive, I would assume that an automatic transfer switch would have a manual override if needed, but, hey, that's above my pay grade.
Well, the idea, yes, they do have a manual override, but what you do with the, that's only if there's a physical or automatic switch failure, like in the switch itself, but say your generator fails, you can, what you'll do is you'll, the manual switch has a, usually an external plug, so you can pull up a trailer generator, cut over to that. Or if you need to work on said auto transfer switch, that's why there, you'll notice there's an auto switch to a gen set on site and then a manual as well, so that if you have to take the ATS online and do work on the ATS, which they do fail, we have one every few years fail. That's what the manuals do.
See, today I learned. You guys are entertaining as well as educational.
Well, you know, we try. So, it's a good idea. Because then you can just plug the generator in, and if the generator on site fails. Too bad the state didn't think of that when they first started putting generators in.
Is that a hole? Jeff, I think KB at SWR. Haven't heard you in a while. KBB, Don.
Adds me. Over here driving in some pretty bad weather here in Holland. Yay me. It started on about 196 where they had that multi-vehicle pile up here a while back. Where it started really getting bad. I'm on 131, and it's not good.
Oh, holy hell, look at that. Yeah, I can see the rest area in Zealand, but that's about it. It's coming down over there. I knew they were supposed to get lake effect today, I thought, but damn.
Well, have you seen the reports from the UP and the upper part of the lower peninsula? I mean, at this point, they're no longer measuring it in inches. It's multiples of feet. Man, a lot of snow at once.
One guy up there said he had, did he say 328 inches for snow for this winter? Not for this storm, but total for the winter.
It's a lot of snow. My aunt Carrie in Traverse just sent me, a neighbor came by who had a Kubota front end loader and was able to dig out her garage, finally. Because the snow plows weren't working.
Yeah, the reports that I was seeing was that, yeah, there's it's too much to push. If you're trying to plow, it's just not working. You gotta dig it out and, you know, get it down to a certain level that you can plow. Boy, boy. And, you know, with the weather patterns we're getting, it'll be 68 degrees and sunny next week. All melt at once.
Yeah, should should bring your lake levels back up.
Okay, I can finally hear.
You're late to the party, Sean. We already explained it to him.
Oh, the manual transfer switch thing that Don was asking about?
Yeah, I got schooled.
Yeah, when you absolutely positively can't afford an outage, you have multiple sources of backup.
Now I gotta ask, did you put it before or after the ATS?
We spent a lot of time debating that and the pros and cons, et cetera, et cetera. We put it before, and just based on 20 years of running these things, we've had ATSs go bad, and we realize full well that if we have an ATS go out, we're going to have to finagle. But more often than not, we have a generator issue, and being able to, you know, use the existing trips and all that stuff is far, you know, that way we can leave it. If you got to go after, you got to literally roll out there and turn it on and turn it off and all that stuff, whereas we can have it auto-trigger if we put it before. So, yes, it's before with all those caveats.
See, y'all are smart.
I don't know about smart, but different, that's for sure. And I guess on your application, really you're powering rectifiers for most everything. With the, obviously HVAC is running at AC voltage, but if there was a downtime where you had to jumper across that type of thing, you know, the microwave and radios stay up for the 5 or 10 minutes it could take you to jumper out a bad ATS.
I'm here. I don't know where, but I'm here. KBSWR.
Glad you got there safe. KBSWR. Fred, is where that snow stuff happened up north, is that affecting your remote site at folks' place?
Well, the tree coming down that we had to take down, that's the only thing affecting there still, but that happened before the storm. Sean, they dropped the tree, because Sean dropped the HF wire, because the tree falling would have taken it out, and he just hadn't gotten back out there to, well, first get the wire out from underneath the tree, because all they did was drop the tree and never cut it up. So the G5 is underneath, the edge of the G5 is under the tree right now. So unfortunately that's now covered in a foot and a half of snow. So it has to wait to melt before, and then Sean said he could get it, you know, out from under the tree and he'll get the G5 back up, but yeah. There's quite a bit of snow up north right now. I'm looking on the cameras. The snow fence is up to the top of the drifts are up over the snow fence. Where the, on the back side of the shed where the microwave sheets from the shed up to crossroad, that snow fence, the drifts are up over the snow fence now.
Wow. Yeah, the G5 RV may make it for a nice quiet receive antenna. Ha ha. But alright. Well, I was just curious. I know that's kind of in the area. I saw some stuff on social media earlier about, you know, trees getting iced up and just breaking off and falling down, and kinda like what happened, I don't know, it was the last winter or winter before. There was a bunch of ice, huge ice storm up there and just took out stuff for days. It's kind of similar to that, a little less ice, more snow.
Yeah, the ice kind of went south of our place in Lanson there. Yeah, we got all snow, basically. The ice kind of went Gaylord, Mayo, like in that kind of, so it went further south. you know, Cam and then KOP's place and all that. That's where they got the ice, and that most of the ice went to that area. It stayed pretty much snow up there. I can kind of see out of our Mackinac Bridge camera, half the lens is only covered in snow and ice now at the bridge. But, yeah, it's a lot of snow. My brother sent a photo. He's in Harbor, and the snow is up over the top of his doors to the truck, so he didn't go to work. My aunts in Traverse City and Petoskey, their snow is up over, yeah. My uncle last night, he sent me a message because we saw a light. He thought there was someone at the entrance to the barn, but I'm like, I looked at it. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock last night, and I'm like, I zoomed the camera all the way over to it, and I'm like, no, that looks like somebody's house way off in the distance. But I said, isn't it past your bedtime? And he laughed. He goes, well, if you're in Edie's car, he's like, I dug the truck out today, but your Aunt Edie's car is not going to be uncovered from snow till spring.
Yeah, a lot of the pictures I was seeing looked like stuff that was just going to be in place for probably weeks. Anyway, well, I am pulling up to the office. So I'm going to make my Michigan left, and I will catch you guys later. I'll be back out on the road at some point, but glad everyone's safe. K8BB.
Have fun. Trying to finish my thoughts in this letter, or this report. And, yeah. Then transferred the codes generated into the breach domain to be transferred. It just feels like a run-on sentence, and I can't. Yeah.
All right, Fred, how do I get my screen brightness up on this MacBook? I can barely see it. It looks like above the F1 and F2 keys there's something, but I can't get them to work.
That's odd. It's usually like up there at the top, F1, F2, or 3. My MacBook's upstairs.
Oh, it's just F2. You don't have to. I thought you had to hit Shift or something. I'm hitting Shift F2. I'm hitting Control F2. It's just F2. There we go. All right, springed right up.
Oh, yeah, you don't hold the function or shifts or anything. You just hit the F keys. If you want to send an actual F1, F2, you push the function and then that button. But don't. By default, don't. Alright, I gotta read this. WFSM.
Spell check is your friend.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NABDS.
Fred, you still here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, XPR portable. Same exact cable as an AVX, right?
Wait. For programming?
Yeah, same cable, right? AVX and XPR?
Yes and no. There was an earlier version of the cable that was not cross-compatible.
Oh. Pretty sure I've used this one before, but I'm trying to read this radio. It says no radio connected. Is there anywhere to set the port or anything like on the older software? I'm just really not familiar with this Moto Turbo software. I know I used this setup.
If you plug it into a different USB port, Sean, it'll force you to go up and pick the port assignment, and then when you go into the software, you can go to the set up and tell it what port you're on.
Well, the problem is I've only got, this is a Microsoft Surface Pro. I only have one port, so I can't change ports. And I don't see anywhere in the software. Now, this is CPS 2.0, and I don't see anywhere in it to set the device port, what port I'm programming on.
Oh, I really doubled up. You can't change ports in Moto Turbo. It's all IP-based. So the cable has to be the one, if you're programming a turbo radio, it has to show up as a network NID interface, and you go to the IP address of that radio. Unlike in the APEC, you know, where you can pick COM 1, 2, 3 and use a serial base, you can't do that on the turbo.
All right, let me play around with it. I could have swore I used this exact setup. I'll check my bag. Maybe I have a second cable in there. I wasn't paying attention. But just I got this annoying, this archive came from somebody else, and I got an annoying busy channel lockout. I've got some sort of noise at the repeater site. Just S nothing, but it's enough to not allow me to transmit on my node.
Alright.
All better.
Sorry for the bad intel, Sean. I thought you had CPS 16.
Yeah, I basically just rebooted everything and it started working. But I knew I had this cable and this computer doing this before. I just had to restart everything. It just got buggered up on the sequence or something. Who knows?
Perfect. Any BDS?
Nope, I appreciate the tip. Like I said, this one got programmed with 2.0, so there's things I like about 2.0 and there's things I don't like. It is sluggish, though, man.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WAWKPR.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Are we connected now?
I'm always connected.
I can barely hear the location I'm at. It's got so much ambient noise, it's almost impossible. Again, please?
I said, I'm always connected, Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah, I had this thing connected up, and then I looked, and it was not connected. It was still connected to my phone hotspot, but it wasn't connected up to the network and showing up, and I couldn't get access to it, so I don't know what happened. My node must have went still all this hour up.
I'm going to see how far I can... headed towards 24, so I'm southeast corner of Lapeer right now, coming up to 24, I'm going to see how far south I can go on Flint now.
Well, you've got popcorn, but fully copyable, no problem.
Oh, I got a little popcorn on receive, so that means they're matchable. So, just coming up to 24 here, I got to do the Michigan thing to do here, so I can go southbound on 24 here to head to Oxford. I got to go to the golf course.
Roger, very little popcorn on that last one. So, okay. All right, anyhow, I got to hold this thing right up to my ear. And I've still got some typing I've got to do, so I don't think this radio has Bluetooth. I'll have to switch over to my APX if I want it in my headset. But I got my phone in my headset, so first world problems.
Going southbound, and I got a diesel behind me. He's rolling coal trying to get behind me and get around me.
Alrighty, well, drive safe. Be careful. Sounds like the road is throwing you some challenges. Alright, I'm going to set this thing down and get back to it. I'll be eight of you.
Have fun. WFS southbound 24.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yes, you are. There's some popcorn,
I hear you.
But nothing of any consequence.
All right, I'm coming across Seymour Road, coming up to M15. I'm going down a hill, so I crap out.
I know where that is. Seymour Lake Road?
Yep, making, coming down the curve here in the far right, and then making the left here, or coming up, yeah, make that slight left to the Hortonville M15 road here.
Yeah, I knew a girl lived on Seymour Lake Road off M15 back in the day.
Yep, I'm sitting here at the light at M15 and Seymour Lake Road. Got to make the right to go up to the Hortonville office. Make my drop and pick up there, and then I'm off to Davisburg. Just call me Postmaster 1.
The postman always rings once. Anyhow, oh, you know what? I should get an order of pierogies. Hold on, I gotta pull over and put in an order for pierogies.
Connected to CMN Network.
You get a pierogi, and you get a pierogi. All right, northbound on M15. I got myself a Reuben sandwich from the bar, or from the golf course. So I got that sitting next to me. So I took a bite or two of that, and I'm like, it's delicious. All right, back on the road.
I'll be back. Another phone call. I'll be here with you.
Well, you're making it into the system just fine from down there, Freddy. Yeah, I went by some power lines, so John said it missed, but Randy, by the time Randy keyed up, it was full quieting.
Now, let's see, the two gas stations up around the corner from me both have gas at $4.01 a gallon.
I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to fill up here when I get done and wash my truck today. And then tomorrow I'm probably going to fill up when I get home. So, yeah, two tanks of gas in 2 days.
Oh, I hear you. I just don't plan on eating the days I have to fill this thing up, so. All right. Just backing into the driveway here and take a couple of odds and ends in the house, and I think I'll call it a day.
All right, pierogies. You're supposed to have corned beef and cabbage today, damn it, Sean.
Yeah, been there and done that already. In ABDS.
I did, you know, the weird thing is I did corned beef and cabbage and the whole nine yards yesterday. My wife was kind of saying, she goes, we're supposed to do that tomorrow. And I said, I don't know, I just felt like, I don't know. So I did that yesterday, and I'm doing pierogies today, go figure.
Supposedly, I don't know, we'll see where we go for dinner tonight. Michelle's supposed to be off, I thought it at 3, she went in at 7. So, I know if she's off, I'm not going to go home before then, but we'll see what she does for dinner tonight. Last year we did it from the deli, they had a corned beef cabbage special going.
Yeah, like I said, I pigged out on corned beef and cabbage, the whole, you know, potatoes, carrots, all that, you know, yesterday. I don't know. I think I bought it planning on having it today, and then I couldn't resist and had it yesterday. So there you go. I will drink lots of Irish whiskey tonight, maybe a Guinness or two, so I should make up for it. But now there is a place that has corned beef pierogies. could always do that, kind of like, you know, the best of both worlds.
Oh, that'll count. You get your corned beef pierogies, and then you can get sauerkraut pierogies. Oh, there you go. At Costco the other, when we were there, Sunday? No. Saturday? Friday? I don't know. We went to Costco last weekend. They had a Guinness case for like $25, and it was a mix of three different types of Guinness. And I've had a couple already, and it's, boy, it might be delicious. The Guinness Ale, I've had two of those. Those are really good. Had traditional Guinness, Guinness Ale, or Blonde, and then the one in the Guinness that's in the red can.
Alright, well, the only two I really know of is, you know, of course, Guinness Stout, which comes in the can with the nitrogen, and they also sell it in the bottles. You know, again, it's got the widget in it to dispense the nitrogen, give it that low-gravity nitrogen kind of a feel. So you get a creamy effing point. Then there's the Guinness Extra Stout, which is, that's not a nitrogen-based, that's a like more of a carbonated, and I really like that too. That's in the little bottles, and those are the only two I really know of. I know they're a big company, multinational, it's got a lot of product, but those are the only two I get pretty regularly. Wasn't aware of any Blonde.
I'm going to look it up. She even picked me up some Guinness pint glasses over when we were in Frankenmuth. Guinness Costco. What was in that package? There was three different things in there. Well, for fart. Ah, it was a pub pack. There it was. Okay, Guinness. Oh, come on.
We went for my daughter's birthday, we went to El Charro the other day, and I had a Modelo Negro, and I really enjoyed it, so I bought a six of that.
So I got that in the fridge. I'm going to have to probably get some Guinness. Do some Red Breast and some Guinness today. It'd be sacrilege to do Modelo on St. Patrick's Day.
I found it because I pulled over here at the office. The Irish Pub Pack. It's 15 cans of, and you got Guinness Drought Stout with the nitrogen, the Harp Lager, and the Smithwick Red Ale. And I've had two of the Harp Lagers, and they are pretty damn tasty, so. Alright, I'm, try a half and half. Fill your pint glass halfway with the Harp or Smithwick, a tablespoon upside down in the glass. Pour Guinness over the spoon slowly to trickle on the sides of the gas. Okay, well, I'm not going to try that. But all right, I'm going to run in and drop this stuff off at this office. I'll be back in 5 minutes. WSM.
Oh, I'm familiar with all three of those. Yeah, those are all winners. I love Harp and Smithwick. So, yeah, that's a winner right there. Huh, I'll have to see if they've got that near me, because I could enjoy all of those. All right, catch you in a bit. W8FU.
All right, W8FU.
No baked cookies. Shelby had no baked cookies, so have a cookie for all your work.
There you go. So I ordered $40 worth of pierogies, and I only tipped $3 because all the person did was handed me a bag with the pierogies in. I think that was more than adequate, wasn't it? Or am I cheap?
I would have not tipped anything, because if I'm just doing a pickup order, you're not serving, you know, unless they came out and hand-delivered it to you in the vehicle. No.
I know, I always struggle with that carry-out tipping. Like, man.
Nope. I'm sorry, I'm not tipping you if all you did was hand me my food at the counter. If they come out and do, like, to the curbside thing, I'll give you a few bucks for that, but if I'm going inside to pick up my pie or something like that, no thank you. The tip is for the service of a sit-down place with a waiter, not a cashier.
I kind of agree with that, but, you know, then I look at the other side of the coin, which it's kind of a not my problem kind of a thing, but, you know, since COVID, places are doing way more carryout with door jams and all that stuff, and so there's way more carryout restaurants, so waitstaff not getting, you know, the kind of tips they look for, so I tend to be more generous. Now, that's one thing for sit-down, I get it, but then you still got the situation with carry-out. There are some where I just flat-out refuse. You know, some of them I just don't care to eat, and, you know, that I even have to choose. No, it's like, it's ridiculous. The other one I don't like is, do you want to round up? No, I don't. You know, I don't care. I don't know what this is for. I didn't research it. I'm not going to go home and research what this thing is. For all I know, they're taking this money and going to Tahiti and abusing it. I don't just arbitrarily donate to causes. I have no idea. You know, it sounds good. It's for kids. Well, yeah, so is the Epstein file. That was all about kids.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, as somebody who is on the other side of that, you know, we have a wage for, let me break it out, because, you know, we're in a fully tipped environment for our servers, but, like, for certain events,
like catering events and those types of things. The gratuities put it split there, but we still have, you know, a minimum hour wage. That's not just, we're not paying a bunch of our staff, you know, what is it, the $250 an hour or whatever for if they're a tipped worker. No, they're getting minimum wage plus tips on stuff. So the only difference to that is if they're strictly bar staff or bar cart. But like ball boys and those things, no, there's a set. They get tips, but because they're not in a service, you know, their tips are not, yeah, we still pay a minimum wage.
Were you involved in our, we had a big discussion about this the other day. I think it might have been the morning drive. I don't think you were, I don't know if you were in there or not, but I'm not a big fan of tip culture in general. I just assume they pay their people well. Better restaurants should pay their people better, and they should have the best staff, and, you know, and you can vote with your business. You can complain to the owner and say that, I will not be coming back here because this waitress wasn't good, or you know, we come here because she's so good, but tipping, you know, I don't see the value in tip culture. I think it's horrible. Can't stand it. You know, the only argument I saw was that, well, then how do you reward somebody for, you know, treating you really well at a restaurant? Well, same way you treat somebody for treating you really well at any business. You know, you either don't do business with them anymore or do business with them.
Yeah, at the club, it's a little, for events and things, you know, the fee for, you know, we clearly state, we put the gratuity there and split it between, you know, whoever worked that event kind of thing. That way, you know, it's already put, and then because it's all, we're membership, I mean, membership public, you know, most of it's, you know, 50-50 members for when they do, you know, like, so we got Easter brunch coming up, and it's, you know, the Easter brunch event is a flat fee per person, but it, your gratuity and all that's included, you know, and that way you don't have to single somebody out, nobody, you know, all the servers split that gratuity, but it's clearly marked what the gratuity is and who it, you know, doesn't go to the company, it goes to the wait staff, so I don't know. I think there's they went too far, you know what I'm saying? Just like what you just had happen when you picked up your to-go order, it went too far with today.
Yeah, I don't know. I just believe, you know, pay your people enough and tip culture goes away. Like in Europe, they don't tip, right? It's just people are paid for to do the work, and if they do it good, they keep their job. If they don't do it well, they're out on their hours. And, you know, so there's no, not about tips. No, I prefer, would much prefer that. But that is not the world we live in, so I'm usually a fairly generous tipper, particularly when it comes to the sit-down. And then I struggle with this weird takeout dynamic. I, you know, if the person's got a lot of work to do, like if they've got to, like, you know, if it's something that's got to be customized or they got to really put it together, you know, a certain way, you know, there are some carryouts that require a lot of attention. You know, then, yeah, certainly it's worth the, you know, it was worth the effort.
I wasn't awake probably when you guys had the drive time one, but okay, flip the coin. Strippers. Do we need to tip strippers?
Ooh, that's an interesting conundrum there. So, yeah, that's interesting. I really don't know. Well, I have to think long and hard about that one. No pun intended.
I mean, I'm all for doing away with it, but we're, you know, we got to think about the strippers, Sean. Those poor strippers, man. You do away with tip culture, got to do away with it all.
So you're say they're doing it all for the tips?
Well, I think that's what they all are. I don't think they get an hourly wage. I think it's just tips.
Of course, that's a little different. That's okay, so they're kind of independent contractors. I've heard cases where they even got to pay to work a place. And, you know, if you got a good venue, you know, they might have to flip money to the house. And then they can make a lot of money. So they're kind of more like a 1099 employee, I think.
What do you think our staff, you know, about half or three quarters of our wage staff are all 1099 by their choice? You know, we'll W-2 you if you want, but half of them want to, you know, half of our seasonal work wants, you know, 1099.
So you don't want to pay them nothing, pure tips.
No, I want to get rid of tips completely and just be done with it. But if we're going to do it, we got to do all tipping. It's got to be everybody. You can't just take it away from tips from servers. You got to take it away from strippers. Every tip goes away. Nobody gets the tip.
I say at that point what has to happen is a stripper becomes an independent business. And they rent pole space, and they can fight over pole position. And so it would be like me being a mechanic and having to rent a garage. That's kind of more the way I view it. And then they can charge whatever they want, and if they want to negotiate their fees on real time. And that's what that is. So it's not tipping. They're negotiating their fees real time.
Yep, WSM. Just like barbers, you know, stylists, there's a chair fee, and you're renting your chair and such like that. But do away with it all. Not just servers. You can't give anybody the tip. Unless your spouse asks for the tip. But other than that, no tips for anybody.
Yeah, that would solve some stuff. You know, the business owner that doesn't cut hair, you know, they just look at their bottom dollar. What does it cost for me to run this place? How much do I have to charge these people in order to keep the lights on and make a profit? And then they can use that space however they want, you know, and break even, make money, lose money. That's on them. Private entrepreneurs, the potential to make all the money or not. Then they have to perform to stay afloat.
That's how the barbers and styluses and beauty pull that whole market. It does it right now, but, you know, increase the weight, you know, the cost and just get rid of it. So, all right, I'm at the plant. I'm probably going to be a little bit longer here because I got to have a meeting with somebody. W-8.
All righty, have fun. I'm on Mound Road at 16, heading home with the pierogi. So I got to find that multi-pack of Guinness. What kind of store did you find it at? Before you clear out, if you would.
It was at Costco.
Ooh, I may not be able to find it at a regular place. All right, that's a good combo, though. That really is. Those are three really good ales. So, all right, later. I'll be home by the time you get out, I'm sure. W8FU.
See ya, W8FU.
Tom.
No, it's Don.
Hey, you too. No, Tom stopped in the peanut shop in Lansing and picked up an order of Supreme Mix and Sours. So I was just curious where he was at while I was out and about.
Well, I am out and about, and I'm actually heading home. Got done at the office what I needed to get done, and my afternoon appointment has had to get canceled and postponed to the weekend due to a situation at the property, so my attention span reached zero. But I head home and chill there for a bit, get off the road before the St. Paddy's Day crazies get out.
Yes, there you go. So we had our corned beef and cabbage yesterday, so today we're having pierogies, go figure. But I am probably going to stop and get myself some Guinness, because all I have is Modelo Negro at the house, and Negro, how do they say that? Negra? No, it's got an O. I don't know. But anyhow, the dark Modelo, and I like that a lot for a just a, you know, a domestic level beer. Had one at El Charro's the other day, and I thought, man, that was good. I'm going to get myself a six-pack of that. But today I have to have Guinness, so I'm going to stop and get myself at least some stouts. And might be a redbreast night, I think. So I'm thinking redbreast and stout. What are your St. Patrick's Day plans that are St. Patrick in nature?
Well, other than my green necktie that I'm wearing, not a ton. I'm bachelor later, even as taking his classes. He's a class on Mondays and Tuesdays. So at home, there is shepherd's pie for dinner, so there's that. That's Irish-ish. And probably a nip at Jameson's. That's all. I think that's the only Irish I have, and it's fine. I'm not motivated to go and get something fancier. It's classic. And I, you know, and I'm the guy who I don't love Guinness. As sacrilegious as that is, I don't care for the stout ales. So, not a Guinness person. So yeah, little shepherd's pie and little Jameson. Little, you know, pet the cats. Big night.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there are other ales that you can try. You can try Harp for something a little bit more, you know, lager-ish. Smithix, if you'd like something a little bit more like a red. You don't strike me as a beer guy in general. So, but if one of them maybe appealed a little bit more. I do, in fact, like the Guinness in most flavors, which is to say in the two variations I know of. So that's okay. And as you know, I've got plenty of Irish around the house at all times. So I've got Jameson, I've got Jameson Black, I've got some more, I've still got some Sexton, I've got, I think some, I know I've got, of course, some Redbreast, but what's the other one? Why can't I think of it? It's almost well whiskey. Tullamore Dew. I've got some Tullamore. So I probably even got more than that, but I got a pretty wide assortment of Irish, so I usually crack out the Redbreast, so that's my favorite of them all. So I'll crack that out on St. Paddy's Day and have a few nips.
Yum. I'm not much of a beer person. I'm okay with the Killian's. Caffrey's is great, but I don't think you can get it here anymore. Like Killian's, but not familiar with Harps. If I've had it, it's not something that I've been drawn to. There was another one. It was another Irish sort of red ale that I'm not thinking of. But yeah, you named up all the usual Irish whiskeys. I was thinking the Proper 12. Proper 12 is Irish, isn't it? Isn't that kind of a new venture? I think that was the one I was thinking you were going to go for. But then, yeah, Tullamore Dew doesn't do much for me. It's okay. It's all right. But like you said, it's kind of almost a well whiskey at this point compared to some of those other ones, which are much better.
You're good. Beer, good. Yeah, Tullamore. I mean, Tullamore is a good whiskey. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of not proper, you know, to say a well. It's
it's that first step above well. But what is there that's a Irish well drink, well whiskey? I don't know. Copper 12 is that fighter, Conor McGregor, and it's actually pretty damn good. But it's nothing, you know, great shakes. Well, it's good, so, and it's affordable. It's really, really cheap. So I might even have some of that, too. Ooh, man, didn't think of that one. Good afternoon, RPAD. What are you doing? Mr. Irish himself. You know, we were just saying, he reminds me of a leprechaun. What are you doing for St. Patrick's Day?
Not a damn thing. It's not really a holiday I celebrate, so to speak. But I heard you talking earlier about some kind of I think it was some kind of multi-pack of beer at Costco. I'm actually planning to go to Costco either tomorrow or Thursday morning, so what is it you were looking for?
Fred said they have a, like, a case of, it's Guinness, and it has the regular Guinness in the black can, Guinness Extra Stout. Then it has Smithix, which is kind of an ale, a nitrogen-infused ale. And then they have, oh, no, I'm sorry, Harps and Smithix. I'm not sure if, I take that back. I'm not sure if either one of those are nitrogen-based. But yeah, there's it's got Smithix, Harps, and Guinness. A blonde, a red, a lager, a red, and of course the Guinness. And it's a multi-pack, so there's, you know, I don't know, four of each, I guess.
Okay. So if I go, did you want me to pick you up that?
Check with me beforehand if you see it, because I'm going into Alsimer, how do you say that, right at the end of your street? And I'm going to see if he's got it. So if I find it before then.
Yeah, it's Alasmer's. Alasmer's, and the owner's name is Foddy. Though I guess he goes by Fred for the locals to make it easier, but his real name's Foddy. Chaldean, good guy. All right, well, keep me posted then. And I am forewarning you because, like I said, I might be going tomorrow morning, so there wouldn't be a lot of time between now and then. So anyway, that's that. Go ahead, Don, WIM.
Okay, good to hear you. Yeah, nothing to add here. You don't have to pick any up for me if you see it. Not my thing, but good to hear you in here. And nothing else to add, just driving up Woodward and nobody seems to be interested in getting where they're going. They're just sort of driving. Blah. Sean? He must have stepped out already.
Yeah, that would be my guess. He did say he was there. I've got conveniently located a party store literally within walking distance. Years back, it was a Buscemi's for a year or two, but the owner decided to go rogue and just open his own place. Seems to be doing all right. He's got great pizzas. And you can't beat the price. You get a large round supreme for like 13 and a half, 14 bucks out the door. And I get three meals out of that. How can you go wrong?
Oh, yeah. That's nice. We've got, there's a place that's within walking distance of us. We got to cross the light, you know, go across Orchard Lake Road. And it's been there for years. And I guess I've got a variety, because I haven't been there in a long time. We went in there a few times, and it was really kind of janky. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go here. And unfortunately, I've just never given it a second chance. It could be wonderful, and I have no idea. But at the time, they didn't have a good selection. It just was kind of blah. There's a Buscemi's that's not far from our house. It's a Voorhees in Waterford. And it went in a place where, you know, 100 different things that all failed, and then they put a Buscemi's in there. And must be the name recognition, because they do great. They're always busy and always open. So. Yeah, pizza at the end of the corner, man, that's too convenient.
given how close the place is, you should definitely give it a second and a third chance, just so that you're 100% sure of the status. I had kind of a similar second chance situation with my local Menards. When they very first opened up, and I guess I didn't pay attention or didn't know, but apparently it did something called a soft opening, where they only had opened up like about a quarter of the store, so they didn't have anywhere near their full inventory, but I didn't know that. I went in there and I saw there was just like limited selection and like crappy tools, and it's like, well, this is stupid. And then some years later I went back because I was getting into doing the big box walking, and lo and behold, I was surprised that it was like one of the biggest big box things close to me. And so now I go there pretty regular to go walking, get my cardio in. WYW.
KACAKJO.
Hey, there's Tom. KACAKJO. Sean was in here looking for you a short time ago. I think he stepped out and it's at the party store. He was asking something about a stop he made to pick stuff up. But, the Menards by us in Bloomfield is wonderful. They opened, they've got everything. It's a big store and it's very well stocked. Every time I tend to go to Home Depot first because it's right at the corner and I've been there forever, and I think I practically paid for the addition on that place over the years. But if I can't get it there, Menards always have it. Tom? KACB.
KACKJO. Yeah, I picked up a package for him in Lansing and I got to drop it off, but I got to find out where he is currently at.
Well, he is currently at 12th and Mound in Warren, or close to it, at a party store hunting for a specific beer.
Oh, I'm gonna
I know what the package is.
I'm in Davidson.
Connected to CMN Network.
I think there was someone else in there with me, too.
Who said the owl? I didn't hear anybody else in there. How's it going on? And we got, what, W1IM, something like that? I missed it. Is that Phil? No. Who is that? KCKGO.
Hey, Tom, it's RPAD. WY8M, Wild Youth 8 Memories. Yeah, Sean hasn't jumped back in yet, so I'm guessing he's either having a conversation with the store owner or he's found what he's looking for, or he's just doing recon, because I don't know if he's really been in there lately or not. Go ahead, Don.
I suspect you're correct. He's ogling new players. So, hey, no, I thought I heard somebody else in there, but I guess not. Probably got one or two more rounds here, then I will be home and do a little more work from home and see if I can relax for the evening or continue to work. KJOKDB.
Okay. KJKJO, sorry about that. Somebody asked me, I said, did you get in touch with Sean? I'm like, no, not yet. I said, no, I'm over here in Davidson at the Tractor Supply, heading eastbound. See where he wants me to meet up with him at.
Well, we're probably going to have to make it tomorrow or something. I am down home, so I'm at 12 and Ryan. Tomorrow I gotta be up in Armada by 8 o'clock, so if it works out that I catch you while you're in transit, we can do a handoff. Otherwise, we'll figure it out.
I know tomorrow I'm supposed to be going to Willow Run, but I can definitely do a pass to an Armada. I'll just leave a little bit later. That shouldn't be a big deal.
Well, what time do you leave for, have to leave for Willow Run? Because I can make an alternating course as well.
I usually leave between 7 and 7:30, and today I left at 7. There's no strict time I got to be there, but I go with a coworker. So I usually leave about 7:15, and I head down into New Haven to go that way.
Which way do you come up from Mount Clemens?
Well, I can shoot 696 to 94 and come up, and we can meet, you know, somewhere along the way real quick. And because I was going to go to the shop before I went out to Armada, so that puts me right there.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll get a hold of you on the radio tomorrow morning so you know, you know, I'll text you, let you know that I'm leaving the house, and then at least it gives you a roundabout, because I know you got to be in Armada, exact, you know, right at 8 o'clock, so we can meet somewhere in the middle there. Like I said, if I got to take a side trip down, you know, through Armada, that's no big deal either. I just let my coworker know. He knows that I have the package, so he's okay with it. KCKGO.
Well, no, I'm thinking that if you're coming down through New Haven from Memphis, then and you're going to Willow Run, it's my guess that you're going to jump on 94, right? Take 94 all the way out to Willow Run. And if you said you leave the house about 7, you know, 7:15, you know, I could, you know, meet you on 94, you know, anywhere along that run from, you know, 59, let's say, down to 696. You know, that seems like you're going to be pretty much passing right through there about when I could meet you. So you wouldn't have to do much more than just get off the exit, hand it off, and get back on.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, if you're going to hit the office, yeah, that'll work. Like I said, I could just jump off and jump back on. No big deal.
Put you out of your way, you know. I mean, you're doing me the favor, so I can easily make that work. So, okay, very good. Just let me know when you get rolling, and we'll coordinate it so that we meet somewhere along that stretch. I don't have to be in Armada by 8. That's when my crew's getting there, but they know the keys. They got the keys to the kingdom. They can get started as long as I get up there, you know, not terribly long after that. So, all right, real good. I didn't mean to piggy it up with this conversation, but connect with me in the morning and we'll hook up.
Sounds good. KCKJO. On to the next individual. Thanks for the allow of the short break there, guys.
Jump in real quick and sign and just pull it on my street system. We'll catch you guys later. I'll be here. Easy.
Later, Don. Hey, ARP. Update on the beer.
Beer me.
So that triple pack is got one beer that I love and get all the time, and then it's got two that I don't mind, but I couldn't resist. I bought a bunch of Guinness while I was there, so I'm pretty good on beer. I mean, if you see it, text me or something. But I couldn't help myself. I bought myself 8 of the Guinness. So.
Okay, well, that'll hold you for a couple hours anyway. All right. Well, then I'll ignore it. And then at some point in the near future, I go to Costco on the regular, sometimes just to go walking around, and also because you never know what they're going to have. They quite often have a limited run of something that I might be interested in, and it'll fall into my cart, and I'll go buy it. And then you'll, like, never see it again. I bought several things that way that was, like, a kind of a one-shot deal. That they just had a limited quantity of. So anyway, I will bow out and flip it over to Tom. So 73L WY Beta.
Maybe Tom's got a phone call. Anyhow, I just pulled in my driveway. I'm going to get inside. When I pull the key out of the ignition, the radio goes off. So catch everybody in a little bit. Dial the 8 if you.
Sounds good. I'll catch up with you in the morning, as it'll hit you up on the UHF.
K-E-8, RUH. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Anthony. I'll be right back. KKK Joe.
KSA FGS. Monitoring.
Hey, FGS. This is KE8RUH.
KE8RUH. Roger that. Yes, David. KFA. Finding good signal.
Hey, David. It's Anthony here. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, I suppose. I'm at my QTH. Don't really want to be out driving around today. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's about another 2 hours the accidents start.
Yep, it is amateur hour for sure. Yeah, I'm about 3 miles from home, so I am happy to be getting off the road and sitting in my house, staying away from people playing bumper cars.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, bumper cars. So what was your call again? Can you write it down?
KE8RUH.
KE8RUH. All right, Anthony, thank you.
Do you work today, or are you already home, or do you work from home?
I do work from home. I'm supposedly retired, but I figure if a guy really, I actually just quit my job. I don't tell people I retired. I just quit my job. So I am home, though. Thank you for asking. Just got my license in December, and this is my first time really doing much on 70 centimeters.
Ah, okay. Cool. Yeah, there's, what repeater are you on? Are you on the Central Michigan or are you on FBI? There's two networks that are linked together.
I'm on the repeater from Mount Clemens. It's from the ARPSC in Macomb County.
Ah, okay. Oh, wait, what was your call again?
KF8FTS.
Okay. Are you a new member at the ARPSC?
Yeah, roger that. Unit 32.
Okay, you're in Shelby, if I'm correct?
Yeah, roger that. Yep, in Shelby Township. And I've been to a couple of the in-person meetings over there. Seem to, you know, good bunch of people.
All right, yeah, we've met a few times. We spoke at the last ham swap in Livonia or wherever that was. If that rings a bell.
All right, hang on 1 second. I got to take a call, landline call. Hang on.
All right, KE8RUH, I'll be standing by. KE8RUH, I have arrived at my destination, and I will be clear. If you're listening, Dave, I'll catch up with you next time. Talk to you soon. KE8RUH.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony, KE8RUH, and we'll maybe see you this Thursday at the in-person. This is KF8FGS. We're standing by.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NADDF.
I heard an NADBF. This is KF8S.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, DBF testing.
Mike 7, Oscar Bravo Lima, checking access and listening.
What's up, KF8S? No copy.
I think I broke it. Come back.
You just say I broke up, KF8S.
No, I'm tuning the sound card and I went the wrong way. So I saw that there was a carrier, but I had no audio.
Well, it's working over the internet anyways.
That's good. How's the audio? Is it hot?
Seems normal to me.
I'll have to tune down the RF to make sure it's good, but the first thing I'm doing is ordering a new fan.
Like one of those USB fans or just like a more beefier fan?
No, I'll send you a picture. We're testing an ICOM repeater, but the fan is just screaming. I swear I can hear it on the transmit.
You trying to make a D-Star repeater?
No, I don't think this is digital.
Very nice. Looks like it goes in like you put it in a rack, PC rack.
If I would have been smart and ran my coax to the basement, that would have been the best case scenario.
What you need is get one of those IKEA LAC tables, L-A-C-K, from IKEA. They're like the perfect size for being a rack. You just drill holes on the side.
I know, it's kind of just sitting on a dresser right now. on a mouse pad to dampen it.
Yeah, you should put that thing in the basement. Man, it's going to keep you up at night.
Keep here. Dakota, you copy?
I would like to put it in the basement. I just don't have coax down there.
Somebody's trying to call you. Go ahead.
KPR, am I making it?
I didn't catch that. I apologize. I got a little bit of noise on this end, but try again.
We had to go to Phil. You copy me?
I am. You're a little light, but I got you in there.
Okay, interesting. So are you on your setup now, the Motorola?
No, Sean, I dropped off the Moto to Sean to, we were going to flip the transmit and receive radios. He was going to lower the power on the other radio, and in the interim, so he doesn't have to rush, he gave me that ICOM repeater to get on the air and test out.
Oh, okay. I assume you're going through. No, I just wanted to jump in because your audio is very tinny. There's like no bottom to it at all. And I'm just wondering if you have your pre-emphasis turned on.
That's it, Dakota?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, too, because the audio coming in is super light as well. But pre-emphasis and de-emphasis are both disabled. And yes, Sean, this is the ICOM.
Wow, if you have the pre-emphasis, you probably want to turn de-emphasis on. Try de-emphasis on. That should fix it coming to us.
All right, de-emphasis is enabled.
Yeah, that sounds better.
What about the audio coming in? Is that just going to be the transmit level I got to turn up?
When you say the level coming in, what you're hearing over the air, that's going to be that number 3 or number 4, transmit level A or transmit level B. That's going to be what you're hearing. But the way I would do that is, like, remember we turned on that, I think it's E, transmit keying tones, then go into 3, you know, run it, adjust it up. Keep adjusting it up until you don't hear a change, and then drop it back down.
All right. I just had to bring it higher than the last one. It's at 900. It sounds good now. All right, cool. So audio going out is good. I think it sounds good on my end here. I'm going to order a Noctua fan, because the fan in there screams. And I think this is only a 25-watt setup. So I don't know why it's cranking all the time, but the fan's pumping out a ton of noise, and it's in my bedroom.
Yeah, I don't know much about it outside of programming it up, tuning it up, et cetera, et cetera. Anyhow, yeah, John, that's a little ICOM repeater that our buddy come up with, and it's planned. The plan is to deploy that in the points. But I have no way to get that thing get the antenna on the tower at this point. So might as well let Dakota burn it up while we're trying to figure out how the hell we're going to get it deployed.
Okay. Well, anyways, your audio sounds a lot better now. So, and I'm just about back home. Catch you later. I think Dave is in here. Go ahead, Dave. KPR.
Yep, I'm just listening to you guys on my M1KE, so I couldn't tell Dakota's pre-emphasis issue.
Dakota, John's kind of light, so I wouldn't go off of his audio.
I went off of you and Sean. Well, you sounded the same to Sean, so coming in sounds good. I mean, I'm sitting on top of thing, but I think it sounds all right. I don't think that's going to affect the audio level a whole lot. I got a weird crackle on the receive. I'm sure it's underneath my PC. It's plugged into a UPS. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of crap factoring into that, but I think we're all right. It's for sure usable right now.
Got a crackle. Just make sure all the antenna connections are tight.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as that. I don't even think about that. I'll pop the cover on it. Sean, do you know what the programming cable looks like? I opened it a little bit ago, and I don't even know what I'm looking like. I don't see anywhere to plug into something.
It goes into mic connector, so it's an RJ45 to, I think it's USB. Anyhow, I'll look for it. I've got it, and the software is easy enough to get.
All right, I thought so, because those are the only ports I could find on the thing, but that's just a serial cable. I think I got a bunch of those laying around at work. I'm not super worried about it, though, if it's only a 25-watt setup.
Were you using a set of flat black duplexers, recorder, or what?
Hold on a second, I got kids doing dumb stuff.
What was the question, Jeff?
You run just a set of flat packs?
Yeah, it's whatever one came with this. It's an ICOM F221 or something repeater. A pair of mobiles in a box. Well done. Got a flat pack in it and power supply and two mobiles, fan set up. So basically a ICOM, two mobile in a box repeater, rack mount.
I got you. There's a lot of them out there, all different brands.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled, because now I need one.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of, if you're looking for an actual repeater, there's a lot of ways you can go. There might be better ways to go than one of those. And I know it's nice, and it looks nice and all that, but there are other ways to go that might be better in the end.
Just get that guy that runs repeaters over there, put a repeater up, call him, send him emails, and really dig at him to why he doesn't have a repeater that covers your area. I mean, everybody else does.
Wait a minute, that's what we're doing.
Hey, I'll contribute wherever I can.
Or you could fix the Romeo repeater.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
I think my internet might have dropped. What repeater are you on, Sean? You got a heck of a squelch crash.
I'm on the 2.6.
Alrighty then. Keep it SWR, Flint.
Remote always in this mode.
What a deal, what a bargain. $3.99 a gallon at Miller Road.
I was lucky enough to pay $3.69 on one truck yesterday, and then I took my truck today and it was empty and I paid $3.99.
It's definitely pretty messed up. Does need to be that high. A month or so ago, I paid $1.63, I think. Of course, that was the place off of Kroger, but even so.
All right, I'm going to clear out of here. I got to fix a dresser drawer that my Einstein children broke, so I'll catch you guys later on ADF.
Observations on the heat?
I just had my radio in my mouth, but is it too hot still?
No, I'm talking about the heat off that. Have you flipped the lid off and felt the heat sinks? Are they handling the duty cycle?
Give me one second.
They're a little warm. I was just running in the last couple minutes with no fan to see if that's what was introducing the crackle or the noise, but I don't think it's the fan.
All right. Well, warm's fine. You know, they can run even borderline hot, but yeah, I haven't heard the crackle you're talking about, so not sure what that's all about. All right. Let you get to whatever it is you have to get to. W8FU.
Could just be this crappy piece of RG316 jumper.
Give it up, Javier.
FQN, do a test, and I'll be clear right now. KF8, FQN, clear.
Connected to CMN Network.
FQN, KF8, FQN, NABZR.
NABZR, this is KF8FQN, go ahead.
How are you doing, Wyatt? Sorry about the antenna. I thought I soldered it. I must have just crimped it. Over.
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you for making that, by the way. And you crimping it actually made life easier now. I've been learning how to solder and stuff, and I had some help and stuff, so maybe today or tomorrow I'll do it. Right now I'm working on a website. It's called Ham Radio Hub, and that's what I was transmitting. I was testing out the live feed of this repeater.
Well, that's awesome. You're a real go-getter. Boy, you're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I can't hold still. I have to do something, some sort of project, or else life would be boring. For me, by the way, I'd be kind of bored. Actually, I'm finishing 3D printing a second prototype satellite. The first one was a different size, it was smaller, and with all the stuff I have for it, it didn't fit in it. So I'm printing out a... it's double the size of the original one. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. I'm just coming home from work right now, and I was just cruising along, and then there was a real bad accident on I-94. I think I just cleared through it. Yeah, I just got through it, so I'm good now. Yep. Yeah, what did you say? You were 3D printing something? I didn't hear you. Over.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm 3D printing a frame for my prototype satellite. It's called SatLeo. It's, so this is a prototype. That's why I'm 3D printing it. But it's, called SatLeo. And it's part of my Project Sagittarius. Kind of satellite series. They're a CubeSat, so they're smaller satellites, but I'm planning on making them bigger and bigger as they go up. So, like, right now, it's SatLeo, and then there'll be some other different types of names for each satellite. But as of now, I'm 3D printing a CubeSat frame for my prototype.
Awesome, I guess. I really don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about, a frame. Maybe you could send me a picture, put a picture on Discord, over.
Yeah, I will. I didn't really explain it that good. But it's a satellite, and it looks like a cube. That's really there is to it, with a computer in it. Have you been making any other antennas, or is it kind of like just this project, or like, do you enjoy making them? KF8F2N, buddy.
NABZR for ID. Yeah, I made you one and I made me one. And next I ordered some coax from Amazon. I'm going to make a collinear. I'm working on a 70 meter collinear, a 440 collinear antenna made out of coax. It's similar to that Twinly, but it's just RG58 coax. Go ahead.
Excuse me, FTO, sorry about that. I was coding a little bit. But I need to get some coax too. I have one adapter and it's forgot what it's called, a connector to a SMA female. But that sounds fun. I was just wondering if she made any other antennas and when that part come off, when that connector didn't come off, I managed to get into the Romeo repeater just by hanging it up on a small, flagpole that was hanging out the side of our business, our little stand that we have for our farm. We sell stuff there. And I was using a little tiny 5-watt radio, and it was only, the antenna was only, 4 feet high, and I managed to, you could hear my carrier signal on the Romeo repeater, so it's about 14 miles away, which is really good for this antenna, so I'll say good job.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun building it. I built one for you and one for me, and, let's see, what else did I build? That's it so far. I'm just waiting for these parts to come in to do this other one. That's what I wanted to tell you. On that antenna, it's cut so that it's kind of up around 4-6 around standby. It's cut so that it's more resonant on the higher frequencies, which would be where the repeaters are at. So, I made that for you so that it's cut so that it's more resonant at the higher frequencies on the 440 so that you'll be able to get into the repeaters all right. That's on the 440 part. I don't know I forgot what the 2-meter part is.
Oh, okay, yeah, I think it was you that sent a diagram and stuff. I was kind of figuring that, especially because, UHF, VHF, it was a dual band. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't damaged or anything. I don't want to, risk the SWRs and stuff like that. Thank you for telling me, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's a really nice antenna. I've never had a, roll-up antenna before. I never even heard of them until, a week ago, or when you sent me it. Which that was a nice surprise. Thank you for sending me that. That was a good thing when I came back from school, I think that's when I came here. On Friday or Thursday. That was a good surprise. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
NABZR. Yeah. And there was a little piece of string I left on it so that you could, tie it in, tie it up and hook it on something or hook it on a pole or hook it up in a, in a tree or something like that to help you there. Over.
Yeah, I've seen that. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was using. That's how I tied it onto the flagpole. I want to try a tree once this wind actually finally stops and cools down to 5 miles an hour. It's been so bad lately. It's kind of annoying sometimes. My antenna held up, but I want to hang it up on a tree next time. I tried to, but I couldn't climb up that tree because there wasn't any other branches I can hold on to when I'm climbing up it. I got one tree I found that I could get some good height on it, and I'll try out that one.
Yeah, put that radio in your go kit now. I know you're working on that go kit, you know, with that radio, and you could use that roll-up antenna for the go kit. Over.
Yeah, way ahead of you on that one. This is already a good piece of my go kit. It's actually the first thing on my go kit, besides the radio. Oh, there you go. Sorry, geez. So now I have two UHF roll-up ones, actually. So this one was the first one, and this is the one I've been using a lot lately. And then I have one for a different type of connector. It's a SMA nail, but it kind of protrudes out. So it's different than the other. It's like the opposite of this. That's the SMA connector you put on there. And that one's for my other radio. And I like using a QRZ one more. That's why I'm using this one so much, and it's more reliable, in my opinion. I can get out farther with this one, especially with a 5-volt handheld. I'm really surprised about that. I know it's not really about the power. Well, it's really not. It's about the antenna. But still, I can't believe I managed to be heard all over. I cannot talk today. Be heard over the noise. Especially because how bad the spot I put it in was.
Okay, good deal. Well, you get back to work there and have fun. I'm up to my destination here. I'm finally got home. So I'm going to say 73s, and you have a good time working with them antennas, and we'll talk to you later. This is NABZR. We're clear.
All right, well, thank you. I've been meeting, holy, I cannot talk today. I've been meaning to talk to you, and I'm glad to hear you on here again. And, yeah, I had a good time talking with you, and you have a good rest of your evening. Maybe I'll catch you on later or tomorrow. And maybe about that website, I'm adding the AI thing where what it does is when somebody, it listens to this repeater, and what it does is, like, when somebody's talking, it displays their call sign on the dashboard, like, real time. So maybe, I'll copy the link down, and then you guys over, I'll send it in the Discord server. Maybe you guys can test it out as beta testers before I actually, like, publicly release it. So we have 73s, KF8, F2N, clear for now. KF8FQN, I'm testing, and I'll be clear. KF8FQN, clear.
K0BTO mobile. K0BTO, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And be careful, HTA. Keep going in 4-4, Hotel Tango Alpha. Keep going in 4-4, Hotel Tango Alpha, stand by.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
K8DEB.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
WABPD.
You're connected to CMN Network.